She said, no, 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 you have to pay in the bank. So I walked across to one of the people working there. I said, excuse me, what's the deal? He said, no, you have to pay in the bank. Ah, where can I pay? They said, okay, go so and so and so place. So I left that short queue. You understand? I went to the bank. By the time I came back, there was nobody on the queue. There was just one person who, as I was walking down there, she was getting through and walking in. So I just got there, showed them my stuff, and walked in. I remember that word. I said to God, I am not queuing for any. And that word worked years later, even when the queue was not serious. Now, I'm explaining something of these things. But those, they all used to have the argument. You know, I look back now, I realize that if somebody like me had been there, I would have argued with me. I don't know guys, the point that if they had changed the rules, yes, somebody should have argued with me. Because by human standards, I was talking really foolishly. Human standards. Why did I argue? I did not realize that I had been so filled with God's word that my regular reasoning was divine. My normal reasoning was divine. On that little money, I had the wisdom to solve all the immediate problems. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Now, I'm talking about argument. So I used to argue with people. But now I don't anymore. Once you start the argument, I realize that you don't know what I know. You are thinking from a different realm. I was drawing my wisdom from afar, like Elihu said. I was ascribing righteousness to my maker. And I was arguing with people who were drawing their wisdom from below and ascribing wickedness to their maker and righteousness to earthly systems. Do you understand my point? How did I become like that? Was I born like that? No. You must have heard my story. After I finished your service, all I did was hear the word of God. Wake up in the morning, a message is plain. Going to sleep, a message is plain. One day we did an estimate. I realized that I listened to Bishop Oyedepo alone in a few months for about 500 hours. And he was not the only person I was listening to. I didn't count Kenneth Hagin. I didn't count the Miles Monroe I encountered. Oyedepo alone, Miles Monroe, I encountered him later. Oyedepo alone, I did over 500 hours in the space of like 8 months. Work how many hours I was doing on a daily basis. I remember that I was saying with my cousin, say, come and drive me somewhere. Her driver had left. I said, auntie, I'm coming. I entered the room. What am I going to get? My tapes. So one day we were going out, he said, let's go somewhere. I said, okay, I'm coming. What are you going to get? I said, my tapes. He said, can't you ever go anywhere without them? I said, auntie, I won't drive you anywhere without them. Yeah, I'm not your driver, you know. I'm just helping you. The only thing I used to keep myself busy while you are going about doing your own business is I sit inside the car and I listen to messages. And I've told this story many times. There was a time there was fuel scarcity in Lagos. I and some of her workers went to go and look for fuel. And I sat in the car inside the sun 2 hours listening to, I think, Wonders of Faith or some two tapes on faith by David Oyedepo inside the sun. I didn't notice the sun was hot. I sat in front of the filling station inside the car 2 neat hours. Once I followed her to the embassy, he said, okay, come, you can sit down somewhere. I said, don't worry, I'll wait in the car. He said, no need to wait in the car. I said, I'll wait in the car. There's a comfortable place you can sit. I said, don't worry, I will wait in the car. If I sit down there, what am I going to do? Inside the car, I had the car music set. I slotted my tapes. Somebody said, you appear good all the time. I said, that's because I'm good inside. And if you are good inside, it makes you good outside. And I believe in good things because good things are good. That message is available here now. Bishop Oyedepo, the gospel of abundance. I listened to some messages, I could preach them. And that thing was forming, you know, it was forming a thinking system for me. It was forming a thinking system. That's how the world works. The world is forming something in you. You don't realize it. You're just exposing yourself to it. It's forming something in you. So afterwards, I'll go and talk with people who had not heard what I had heard, who had not seen what I had seen. And I expected them to understand what I understood. I was a foolish one. That's what I'm talking about by my own foolishness. What I was saying, of course, was correct. It's the word of God. How can the word of God be wrong? But I was arguing with people who did not know what I knew. What am I going to explain? The ability to understand is a gift of God. But notice something. God gave it to those who took him, who took his word seriously. He said, the disciples came and said to him, what do you, he said, why do you speak to them? That is, there are two groups of people. There are the disciples and there is the them. Do you understand my point? And Jesus said, yes, you are right. There are two groups. He said, to you, the disciples, it has been given, granted to understand, to know the mysteries, but to them, those who are not disciples, a disciple is somebody who takes this word seriously, who says, my life will be built upon this thing. That is a disciple. Let's continue reading. He said, for whoever has, to him more shall be given. I'm not reading the high point of what I want to say today. I'm walking towards it. He said, for whoever has, to him more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has shall be taken from him. Therefore, I speak to them in parables. Now, he now began to quote Isaiah here. And I like to hear, I want you to understand something. So we'll go to that Isaiah and read that Isaiah. Because I want to read it exactly the way it is stated in the book of Isaiah chapter 6. Quickly just open to it. I already explained something. The ability to understand is a gift of God. God gives it to people for certain reasons. He chooses who he wants to give it to. But his choice is not arbitrary. You have understanding. No, it's not like that. He has his criteria. And like I've explained here, you can see, it is those who take the word very seriously that he gives understanding to. He helps them to see what others are not seeing. Now, there's a reason why I want to read from that Isaiah itself. Even though the New American Standard quotes that portion very well here, from verse 15 of this Isaiah, 14 of this Matthew 13, he says, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled, which says, you will keep on hearing, but you will not understand. You will keep on seeing, but will not perceive. For the heart of these people has become dull. That's verse 15 of Matthew 13. I'm still there now. With their ears, they scarcely hear. Now, please notice something here. I want you to let me just read from Isaiah chapter 6 now. You will see that the force in the Greek, which is what we are reading from the quotes of Jesus Christ here, is there's a force that's missing, which I want to bring out. You will see in verse 8, the Lord was speaking to Isaiah here. He said, then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then I said, here am I, send me. He said, go and tell these people. Keep on listening, do not perceive. Keep on looking, but do not understand. Now, where I want is that verse 10. He says to Isaiah, render the hearts of these people insensitive. Is that force I want to bring out? It wasn't that their hearts are insensitive. Isaiah, God said to him, go and render their hearts insensitive. How do you do it? Say to them, hear and don't understand. See but do not perceive. That is, by uttering those words, Isaiah was shutting down the ability to understand. All right, I'm going somewhere. He said, render the hearts of these people insensitive, their ears dull, and their eyes dim. Now, he said, why do you do that? He said, otherwise they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and as a result of these two things, they understand with their hearts. And they return and be healed. Notice something here. Healing is tied to what the heart understands. Are you getting what I'm saying? And that healing here, it was not just physical healing. It was healing of every sort. It was healing for the land. It was healing that wiped out Boko Haram. It was healing that wiped out Ebola. It was healing that wiped out economic disturbances. It was healing that wiped out all troubles of the land. It was not just about healing for the body, even though that was part of it. Listen, one prayer I pray for you and for myself. May you have understanding.
Amen.
Because God said, you know what he was saying? I want to punish these people. Because in verse 11, he says, then I said, Lord, how long? And he answered, until the cities are devastated and without inhabitants. Houses are without people, and the land is utterly desolate. Let me just stop here. The point God was making is this. If they understand, after I've destroyed one quarter of the city, they will repent. And I'll be compelled to forgive. He said, so what do? Make them people without understanding. Now, I don't want to say too much about that. I'm going somewhere here. The point here is that you see that what people experience as a healing power. Now, you see, this healing now is vast. It's not just bodily healing. That's part of it. What people experience as healing, it's in their marriage, it's in their ministry, it's in their career, it's in their walk with God, it's in their life. Are they going to live longer? They won't live long. It's in the vitality of their beings. How much are they going to enjoy life? How healthy are they going to be? So it's dependent upon what they understand. That's what I'm trying to emphasize. And now says, here, how do they understand? Understanding is a gift. I look at your attitude and I decide to give you understanding. It is not just about paying attention. I'm like, I have a book, I've read it. You can have the book, read it, and understand nothing. You are following my point. Now, there's something I'm trying to emphasize here. And that is that people must understand this, that it is important that they understand. Healing doesn't come to them until their heart grasps understanding. Another proof I have for that, before I make the point I want to make, and then we'll close. You see, something happened in the book of Luke chapter 10. Because of time, we won't read it. I'll just tell you what is there. But if you want to just write down, that's the book of Luke chapter 10. Now, there, that was where Jesus chose 70 people and sent them out. Do you understand? And then they returned. And they were so excited. Now, what I want to bring out is this. If you go there, you will notice something that he said there. Don't bother opening to it because of time. All right? He said to them that, they said to him that even the demons were subject to us in your name. He now said, you know why it happened? He said, because I beheld Satan. Or some translations we say, I was beholding Satan as he fell as lightning. Do you understand that? That is the reason why the agents of Satan were subject to you in my name was because of the depth of understanding I had concerning his fall. I don't know whether you connected that. That is, I said, rebuke them in my name, and they will listen. You did, they listened. Do you know why they listened? Because they know that I know they are falling. So he said to them, I beheld Satan fall like lightning. That is, the power of what I know was what gave authority to you. He said, look, because of that, what I gave you, maybe you didn't get it clearly enough. I gave you authority over serpents and scorpions, over every power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you as long as you are walking in my name. That's what he was saying. Where did I get the authority from? Because of what I understand. Please, are you getting my point? Look, I'm emphasizing this issue of understanding. But remember, it is when God opens your eyes that you understand. Now, I say one thing, I close with it. There is a major hindrance. I'm talking about taking the word of God seriously. That's where I began from. There is a major hindrance to people having understanding. That's what I want to discuss quickly. Christians start out. They begin to study the word of God. Then at a point in time, they are capped in understanding. They study for 50 years, they are capped in understanding. You wonder, why can you not see that Christians are not supposed to behave like this? You see the reason in a moment. Just like I said last time, the reason is because God withheld understanding from people. Now, no need to argue anymore. You meet somebody who's been a Christian for 30 years, and the fellow still decides that the reason why you go to hellfire is because you use earrings and you tie, you did your hair, you know what I'm saying? And you say one thing, fellow says the other, and you say you have been a Christian for a very long time. This is, I don't have time to argue. Now I have time only for those who come to me and they want to know. They are willing to learn. Why don't people understand? It is usually because they got to a particular point in life where God was teaching them and they rejected the knowledge he gave them. And that's it. They will never move beyond that spot. That's it. See, I said to you earlier, the word of God will be, I will say this straight, thank God, say, I'm not trying to win you over to our denomination. You know that kind of thing? If I was an Anglican and you're a Catholic, you say you want us to come to your church or vice versa. No. I like the way I run Kingdom World Ministries. We just teach the word of God and leave it like that. Do you understand my point? Okay? I just want to say this one. One of the foolishest things I hear from Christians, especially preachers, is when they tell me this is the stand of our church. Listen, you should have your head examined. When I say have your head examined, that's the best way I can say it. Get a screwdriver, open some screws, remove your skull, check whether everything is actually complete. Let me say something to you. None of the denominations we have now existed in the time of Jesus Christ. None. None existed in the time of Paul. Forget that joke. Peter was not a pope. Now, so as Christians, we have to be careful. What am I teaching to you today? Be careful that what is more important to you is truth. You know, something made me realize it. Do you know? And this is how it is. You start a walk with God. And, you know, let me explain something to you. Hey, I hope nobody will be offended by this. But you'll be surprised to know that I grew up technically as a Catholic. Yeah. When I entered university, the fellowship I attended today was a Catholic fellowship. One major issue we had, all right? One major issue we had was when we study the word of God and it will counter, you know, conflict with established Catholic doctrine. It was a major issue. For those of us, my father was not a Catholic, so it didn't matter. For some people, their inheritance dependent on remaining Catholics. And listen to me. Jesus said something. Whoever wants to be my disciple, let's get this things clear, we'll have to count the cost. Some people will start arguing with you. You know what they argue? The argument is not what you are thinking. The argument is, what will I go home and say? That's their argument. Now, I'm saying this to you. At that point in life, many people's progress spiritually ended. Not because they didn't love God. Not because, you see, many of you know me. I'm not a, if you know me enough. In fact, like one sister will say, if not only you be preacher for this life, Christianity for sweet. Many of you, some people hold on fastidiously, you fight over. It doesn't worry me. Some people come and say, my father-in-law said we should bring beer. In our church, we don't drink beer. I said, the man said bring beer. He didn't say drink. Some say, we will pray. We will not agree. I said, okay, you guys gather here and pray. I call somebody, oh, what did they say, Gouda? Let's go and say to this man, there are things I don't pray about. The man wants to drink Gouda. See, what if he says you should drink? Pour me a glass. He's the one that will not get me drunk. Daddy, are you happy now? Can we take the wife now? No, that's my attitude. If you drink, you go to hellfire. Then Jesus must be in hellfire. I don't believe in drinking beer. I'm not saying that I'm a rare drinker. But it doesn't send people to hellfire. And if your father-in-law said that, bring 10 cartons. So is it for the chiefs in the village, I will give him 15 cartons. If they ask for your coat, Jesus said, give them your shirt also. What is your problem? If they say, look, those days when they ask for 10, I had to give 10. But if God, poverty was the problem. Because if it was the days of prosperity, if they ask for 10, I would have given 20. Why? It's in the scriptures. Give wine to the man who wants to drink. Let him get drunk and forget his sorrows. I don't want to drink. The man who wants to drink, have fun. You say, is it not a sin? It's not. I'm not discussing that now. I'm not telling you to go and drink good. If you drink, now you'll be one drink before. If you fall into gutter, have accident, don't call my name. I hereby deny you ahead of time. So don't. I'm just trying to say that, look, I'm not one of those people that they hold on to some things they call Christianity. Apostle gave me a CD the other day. Pastor W.F. Kumiyu preached a message which is titled Non-Essential Church Doctrines. But it's on YouTube. When I heard it, my wife couldn't believe that was Pastor Kumi saying these things. The man preached non-essential church doctrine. And he said, I would not have said this to you 10 years ago. The old man said, I know 10 years ago, I wouldn't have said this. He said, but we keep growing. So, I laughed, you know. I rubbed my stomach, said, sir, thank you. I knew it was not essential 30 years ago. The Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. So, you see, I'm explaining something here. I'm not one of those people that are so fastidious about some things. All right? Because some things are actually non-essential. However, this is why God shuts people down. Because the God we are dealing with, he knows us one by one. He knows those who are confused. He knows those who are not confused. He knows those who his spirit has given light to, but who are rejecting the light because they don't want to offend men. I say to you today, listen, any such person, his ability to understand is closed that day. He's not moving an inch further. You see him in 10 years' time, he will start defending doctrines that you thought he should have enough wisdom to know they are not correct. Let me say another one. You know, we have to keep, right now, you know, let me tell you something. These days, I'm going to get more wicked than before. You see my reason in a moment. Now, good wickedness, though. You know, so before I tried to be nice. What you see was nice me. But now I want to get a bit more rugged. This is my reason. I found out that if you are not hot, Jesus is going to vomit you out of the mouth. And these days, in Christianity, if I don't preach truth loudly, Boko Haram will move towards the south. No, I know what I'm saying. So we have to preach truth loudly to push them. It's not by fighting. It's by preaching truth loudly and firmly and push them back into the desert. All right? So I'm going to be a bit more, you know, I'm going to be tougher than before. I have my reasons. Amen? All right. So now I want to give an illustration. Some of the things I preach about money. Now listen to this. I'm a preacher. I have noticed that 99, okay, that's not right for me to be giving proportions. But a vast majority of those who disagree with what I preach about money, they are preachers. It's usually those who receive money that fight me, not those who give it. The doctrine of money I preach is liberating to those who give. It's a threat to those who collect. So no matter how much sense I make, they reject it. And I'm saying this to you in case you are hearing it. You are putting yourself in danger unless that word is just not clear to you. Because sometimes God will explain things. He knows when you understand. He knows when you are deliberately blocking him so as not to hear. Because the problem, like the story I told at the beginning, the problem with a lot of preachers is they are afraid of income. It might get cut off. I find it hard to believe that any preacher that studied any bit of the word of faith does not know, does not understand that some of these practices we do these days, they are stupid and wrong. How can we Christians in 2014, 2,000 years after Jesus died, say that you will redeem your firstborn with money? How can we in 2014, after Jesus died, say that money breaks curses? Do you know why we preach it and we can't seem to understand? The Lord gave us understanding. But we are afraid that it will cut off financial flow. That was why the young man gave his story at the beginning. That our sister invited here, his problem was that he was a preacher. If he was not a preacher, the world was liberating. But his fear is, how do we run the church? But I'd like to say something boldly. We're not a, what they call, humanly speaking, that is, humanly speaking. Kingdom World is not a big ministry. Humanly speaking. Spiritually, we don't know our size. Only God knows. But humanly speaking, as of today, at least in our little level, we are broadcasting on 6 radio stations. We are on TV. We have expenses. I thank God that till today, we don't lack money. The money doesn't come from my pocket. It does not. I preach what I preach. Yet we don't lack money. If you're a preacher, I'm saying to you, if you will just believe the truth, you will drown in money, you won't know what to do with it. There is nothing that God commands you to do that he will not supply the resources to do it. Nothing. Unless you are running your own agenda. In which he will cut off the money just to wake you up. Say, oh boy, you are doing what I did not send you to do. Listen, in life, the amount of control, the amount of power, the amount of healing you will experience in life is dependent upon the amount of understanding you have. I've already explained that. God said if they have understanding, if they see and perceive, if they hear and understand, they will turn around and I will have to heal them. Jesus said, I was able to command all those effects in the life of those enemies of God, the devil and his agents, simply because I beheld Satan falling down from heaven. Our lives are confused when we don't have understanding. See the way the whole world is, you know, afraid because of Ebola. Do you know if God, let me give you an example now. If you were sleeping, or you are just praying, and suddenly God opens your eyes, and you see the demon called Ebola, and it doesn't say anything more than that to you, do you know your fear will disappear? Do you know why? Suddenly you realize it's not a virus. Suddenly, because of the understanding you had before that it's under you, you know the name of Jesus, you know, suddenly it crystallizes to something that is real that you can handle. That's why they say, bait with salt. You throw salt into the street. Say, I don't want salt. You see that understanding, they will bring Ebola vaccine that works. You will not take. Not because you are like, I don't take medicine. It's more like, it's not necessary. That demon can't come near me. Why? God just opened your eyes and you saw something. When the servant of the man of God was running up and down, alas, my master, how shall we do? Why was the master not ruffled? The master said to him, come, my boy, those who are with us and more than those who are against us or who are with them. Don't worry. When the boy wouldn't stop worrying, what did the master do for him? He prayed for him that God will open his eyes. The moment God opened his eyes, you know what happened? The guy said, yeah, come now. We dey wait. I won't fight. I know the interesting part, the chariots, all those heavenly hosts that was around them, all right, that were around them, did not do physical fighting. The way angels fight is different. Angels, they just blinded the eyes of those people. They became confused. Elisha walked up to them and said, who are you looking for? Come, let me show you. And this was the effect of the presence of the angelic hosts. They saw Elisha, they did not recognize him. That one dragged them to the king of Samaria and said, see the people that have come, see your enemies. Say, my master, what should I do? Should I kill them? Say, no, why should you kill the men that you did not take by, you didn't take them in battle? So what did they say? Give them food to eat. And they gave those ones food to eat. They ran away, they never came back. Say, these people are dangerous. How did that happen? Because a man had understanding. He saw something in a particular realm. And that suddenly calmed him down. You see, what you need in life is insight. That's what you need in life. But like I said to you, my message today is to warn people why they don't have insight. It is because when God makes something clear to them, you know what they do? They reject the counsel of God. And this is the consequence of it. Listen, open your scriptures. 2 I'm going to read, then we'll begin to close. The book of John chapter 12. Quickly, go to verse 40. The book of John chapter 12. Now you see verse 39. Why don't people believe? John was commenting here. These things, let me just back up a bit. These things Jesus spoke and he went away and hid himself. Though he had performed so many signs, yet they were not believing him. Do you understand? They were not believing. Why were they not believing? He quoted that Isaiah again. Verse 39 says, for this reason they could not believe. For Isaiah has said again, he has blinded their eyes and all of that. If you now say, go to verse 41. He said, these things Isaiah said, because he, Isaiah, saw his glory, that is the glory of Jesus Christ, and he spoke of him. Nevertheless, many, even of the rulers, believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they were not confessing him. Why? They fear that they will be put out of the synagogue. Verse 43 says, for they love the approval of men rather than the approval of God. Are you noticing that? Something similar also you find in the book of Luke, chapter 7. This one is very, very interesting. This one in the book of Luke, chapter 7, is one scripture that God used to open my eyes many years ago, shortly after my youth service, when I was studying the word of God voraciously. You will see why you have to be careful in this, your life. You have to be careful that you don't, because of your position amongst men, run away from the truth of God. You have to be careful. You have to be careful that you don't, because of what people will say about you, deny his truth. Because life has seasons. Whatever word God is sending to you today, he's using it to prepare you for the next season of your life. If you don't accept and hold on tightly to that word, you are inhibiting the release of his power in the next season of your life. What I've told you, very important too. The book of Luke chapter 7. Notice one thing, he said, Jesus spoke extensively here. We are going towards verse 30. He began to talk about John the Baptist. Of course, then he was saying many things about his own ministry. You know, John sent people to him and all of that. So he began to talk about John the Baptist. He described the excellence of his ministry. That's John's. In 28, he says, I say to you, among those born of women, there is no one greater than John. Yet he who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. Now, after he said all this is about John, the people were impressed. And there are two groups of people there that heard it. Look at verse 29. When all the people and the tax collectors heard this, they acknowledged God's justice. This New American Standard. Because they had been baptized with the baptism of John. That is, because they had been baptized with the baptism of John, they were able to understand what Jesus was saying and they were happy about life. I'll do something in a moment. Look at verse 30. But the Pharisees and the lawyers, they rejected God's purpose for themselves, not having been baptized by John. Listen. How did they reject God's purpose for themselves? Because they rejected the truth that John the Baptist brought. Now, I want you to understand something. Life is in seasons. If you understand spiritual things, you will understand that John the Baptist represented what is called the first and the second day of the Lord, while Jesus was what is called the third day of God. That is, God will say, go, today, tomorrow, prepare yourselves. On the third day, I will come down and visit you. This is my understanding. Of all those Jews, nobody received anything from Jesus. Nobody was blessed by his words. Nobody received any miracle from his hands that did not receive the baptism of John. When you see Jesus just pass, look at somebody. Your sins are forgiven you. Rise up. Go and check it. That guy went for John's crusade. I can't prove it now. But you see him just do things out of the blues. Those men were there while John was preaching. They just see one widow just passing. The son died. Come, touch the casket. The boy wakes up again. Go and check it. Either that widow or her husband was there when John was baptizing. What they were experiencing, all of them, was what John prophesied concerning and they baptized themselves. They received this baptism and waited the manifestation. So when Jesus came, I can imagine, why did he go to the pool of Siloam? To just pick one person and say, get up, carry your pallet and walk. I'm telling you, this is my understanding. That guy went for John's crusade. He was sick. They dragged him for baptism. He was baptized by John. When Jesus came, Jesus went around, looked for him, healed him and walked away. Why? He had been baptized by John. All the men who fought John, they had no choice but to fight Jesus Christ. Life is in seasons. All the truth that God is releasing to you right now is preparing you for the next season of your life. When Satan wants to deny you of that next season, he sends the approval of men as the reason why you should reject the truth. You don't play with the word of God. Because of money. Because of position. Oh, I wish you would understand. God, right now, he's preparing you for the next season of your life. Every truth he brings your way, many of them they are painful. They can't tell you sell all you have and give to the poor. I won't pay you. But even when God says that to you, you know, the Holy Spirit is alive. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
You will know when you are being spoken to. You will know. How did Pastor E. Adeboye become the G.O. of Redeem? One of the stories I heard, the man who founded it, Akindayon, one day he called his elders and said that he wants all of them to do something. He said, everybody, now please, when we are saying these days, when you talk about money, people are on edge. People have abused it. But I look back and I think that man's one was interesting. He said, I told all of them that, I don't know what I said, God said, but I watched a bit of the video. He just told all of them, all of you are committed to this church, you are go to your accounts, go and empty the money and bring it as an offering. Only one person did it, the current GO of Redeem. They had a council of elders. They were running the church. He said, okay, we need money now. So I want all of you present here. Go home, empty every money you have everywhere and bring it. Only one person did it. Incidentally, he was the youngest and the newest entrant into the group of elders. I perceive. The man saw that this is the man. You know, he said, this is how you will know the man who I have anointed. That is the person you know today as Pastor E. Adeboye. In this life, the word of God, you don't play with it. I said, right now, God's word, everything is not just one thing now. Every word he's bringing to you, each one is being used to prepare you for the next season. Anyone you reject, in that area, if that was John the Baptist, when your Jesus comes, you're on your own. My time has gone. Let me close. I hope I made my point. Are you sure? I hope I made my point. And whatever I do not say, the Holy Spirit is developing in the hearts of people. Bow down your heads and just give the Lord thanks. Say, Father, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your word.